The proposed new bylaws, in the view of the board's opponents, represent a major power grab by the national board. Kenneth Frucht is a San Francisco attorney who represents board members Rabbi Aaron Kriegel and Rob Robinson in their suit against Pacifica.
I think the overall purpose of changing the bylaws is to allow them to effectuate whatever actions they want to take. These bylaws allow them to sell a couple of the stations without any problem, they allow that to be done by the executive committee sitting by itself without getting approval by the entire board. So what these bylaws do is they formalize what has been happening over the last couple of years, which is that the power to govern the corporation, the power to take actions with respect to the corporation, has been centered in a small group of people.
With the last bylaw revision in February 1999, the Pacifica National Board became self-selecting. This centralization of power was one of the factors leading to the conflict at KPFA in the summer of 1999. Similar issues are now playing out in the crisis at New York's Pacifica station, WBAI. Rather than address the sources of conflict, these new bylaws, or so Pacifica's opponents say, are driving even harder toward a concentration of power at the center. Hunter Pyle is an Oakland attorney who represents members from four of Pacifica's five local station boards in their suit to undo the last bylaw revision.
The proposed bylaws would essentially codify the very thing that we're fighting against in our lawsuit, which is to prevent the board from becoming self-selecting. And here I'm referring specifically to Article 3, Section 3.5, which is very explicit about giving the board not only the power to self-select, but also the power to reject any director nominated by a local advisory board. And that is, in fact, the first cause of action in our lawsuit against the Pacifica Foundation.
In several places, Pacifica's critics assert the proposed bylaws are an attempt to circumvent California state law. Pacifica incorporated in California in 1946 and has always had its principal place of business in this state. Under the proposed bylaws, Pacifica moves its principal place of business to Washington, D.C. Attorney Kenneth Frucht.
I think it may be a precursor to removing the Pacifica completely from the purview of the California Nonprofit Corporation Code, which is something that provides very strong protections against overreaching directors. So I think that this may be the first step in removing the California nonprofit status from Pacifica.
Another possible violation of California law, Frucht said, is a section of the proposed bylaws which draws a distinction between voting and non-voting board members.
Under California law, there is no such thing as a member who doesn't have a right to vote. Under California law, members of a nonprofit corporation are defined by their right to vote on things such as directors and other major decisions of the corporation. So I think that's not a good thing.
The controversy over disenfranchisement has reached into the Pacifica National Board itself, with dissident directors saying they are regularly excluded from the board's deliberations. Attorney Kenneth Frucht, who represents directors Kriegel and Robinson in their lawsuit, reading from one of the proposed new bylaws.
It says the board of directors, in its sole and absolute discretion, may from time to time establish, by resolution or otherwise, standards and guidelines for what shall constitute cause for the removal of a director from office. In my estimation, that's an incredibly arbitrary provision that allows for the pretextual removal of directors from office when the executive committee is not happy with dissident directors or directors that are opposing some actions that are being contemplated by the executive committee.
Frucht went on to cite a proposed new bylaw dealing with quorum requirements for board decisions.
Directors shall constitute a quorum for the transaction of business, provided, however, that in the case where there is only one director, such one director shall constitute a quorum for such purposes. So what this essentially means is that if by chance a meeting is called and there happens to be one director, let's say the executive director, is the only person at that meeting, that person can make decisions that have incredible impact. Practically speaking, it's unlikely that you're going to end up with a meeting with one director, but it's possible. And the way this board has conducted business, it's quite possible that they can call a meeting and not go through the proper mechanisms of informing everybody. And even though that would not be proper, you still have a meeting and a decision, and you would have to go to court to overturn that.
The proposed new bylaws apparently allow the board's executive committee to dispose of one or more of the Pacifica stations by sale. Attorney Kenneth Frucht.
And one of the things that it says the executive committee cannot do is effectuate the sale, transfer, or other disposition of substantially all the assets or property of the foundation. What that means, in effect, is that they can effect the sale, transfer, or disposition of something that is not substantially all the assets or property of the foundation. In other words, the way I could interpret this is to say that the executive committee sitting by itself and making a decision by itself could make a decision to sell perhaps up to two of the stations of Pacifica. The executive committee could make a decision to sell KPFA and WBAI in New York, and that would not be a transfer or disposition of substantially all of the assets of the property or property of the foundation.
Another controversial issue has to do with overlapping interest. The author of these draft bylaws is attorney John Murdoch, who is chair of Pacifica's Governance Committee. Murdoch is also a partner in Epstein Becker, which is one of two law firms defending Pacifica in its lawsuits. Under California law, the director of a nonprofit corporation has to disclose the details of any overlapping interest to the entire board of directors. According to Murdoch's draft bylaws, however, Pacifica's directors are only obliged to disclose overlapping interests to a committee of the board. Attorney Kenneth Frucht.
This is problematic. First of all, it's not in accordance with California law because the interest has to be disclosed to the entire board and not just a committee. What this section does is it allows Murdoch to sit on the board and not disclose his interest to the board, but just to disclose his interest to, for example, the executive committee. And they do not, under this provision, they're not required to disclose that to the other board members.
While the draft bylaws greatly increase the power of the Pacifica Executive Committee, they further reduce the power of the local station boards. Attorney Hunter Pyle, who represents local board members in their suit against Pacifica.
Article 9, Section 9.4, gives the national board the power to nominate up to a third of the members of each local advisory board. And Section 9.5 puts very restrictive term limits. In fact, probably the most restrictive term limits you could imagine on individuals sitting on the local advisory boards. It says that people on the local advisory board can sit for one-year terms up to a maximum of two consecutive years, and then they have to take 2 years off before they can come back to the local advisory board. And in my mind, anyway, that's an obvious attempt to prevent any sort of real organic leadership, any, shall we say, controversial leadership from developing at the local advisory board level.
Pacifica's governance chair, John Murdoch, did not return KPFA's call requesting his comments on the draft bylaws. Murdoch has requested comments on the draft from board members by February 8th. A week after that, the board's governance committee will meet by phone to discuss the draft and comments on it. The only governance committee member to speak with KPFA was Rob Robinson, who is one of the directors suing the foundation. Robinson said the board is excluding him from all deliberations unless he drops his lawsuit, a position he calls illegal. Daniel Bartley, who is lead attorney in the lawsuit against Pacifica by a coalition of listeners, has said that he will file a motion for injunctive relief to prevent the adoption of the proposed bylaws. And the state of California may renew its interest in Pacifica's activities. A year and a half ago, the state's powerful legislative audit committee held a hearing on Pacifica's handling of the crisis with KPFA. A spokesperson for the committee told KPFA Today that if a legislator or group of legislators writes to the committee and expresses concern about the new bylaws, the committee could reopen its Pacifica file. At the time of the audit committee hearing, the state attorney general's office said it would take a hard look at any effort by Pacifica to transfer assets or to leave the state. A spokesperson for the attorney general reiterated that statement today. Any listener who wishes to comment on the draft bylaws can do so in writing to any one of Pacifica's national directors. Further details about the draft bylaws and about the lawsuits against Pacifica are available at the worldwide website savepacifica.net. For KPFA News, this is David Landau.